This is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield from The Lynn Group. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Michael provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is The Wealth Puzzle with Michael Mansfield.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is Mike Mansfield. Obviously, wanted to get back to everybody. It was a chaotic week last week. We did hold off on putting out a video last week simply because we wanted to get through Wednesday, which was Liberation Day. And then on top of it, there was a couple other things happening. Probably most notable, President Powell of the Federal Reserve was talking last Friday. So we wanted to get some information. We wanted to digest that, try to come up with what we think are some of our thoughts. And so Here we are. I know there's a lot of emotion. I've been talking to a lot of you on the phone. We've been talking through these things. Fortunately, I think on a high level, when people build good retirement income plans and proper distribution plans, this is a huge lesson learned as a reminder of we want to allocate income and cash flow to be conservative. All of the growth that we have in the stock market, things of that nature, should never be allocated towards someone's income needs. Rather, that should be for the long-term benefits of money going up over time. So in any case, the formal Liberation Day came last week. Obviously, Trump announced a bunch of tariffs on a number of different countries. If you watched the announcement last Wednesday, he was holding up a bunch of big boards, had a bunch of countries listed on there. And really the headlines have been really consumed by the idea of, you know, the fear of a global trade war starting. Once again, the point I want to make here, this is all my opinion at this point. Nobody really knows what the true end goal here is. And so I'm looking at the tea leaves. I'm looking at the information. I'm trying to fill in some of the gaps with some common sense. And, here we go. Let me see how to advance the slide. Here we go. So some of the issues that we have that are shaping up. We have a national debt that's almost $40 trillion. This is actually a very unique year for us because we have in 2025, we have over $9 trillion of our federal debt that needs to be, we'll call it refinanced, but it gets rolled over. Rollover just means it matures and it has to be refinanced at the current rates. Well, the problem is all of the debt that we have, you know, with the feds and the government owns is about 3.3%. And so the problem is even coming into the new year, interest rates were much higher than that. The Fed's fund rate is about 4.5%. And so what that means is as we refinance our national debt, if we have to refinance it at higher levels, it forces the interest on our debt to skyrocket. You can see on this slide here, last year we spent over $1.1 trillion of interest. And so as we take on new debt, probably close to $2 trillion this year, and we have to refinance that $9 trillion of debt, that's over $10 trillion of new and current debt that would need to be put at higher interest rates. This is a huge problem. And so if you go kind of follow, well, I'll get into that in a second. Part two, there's been a major disconnect over the last few years due to inflation between the upper class and the middle and lower income. Treasury Secretary Bessent came out the other day and he made kind of a personal observation that kind of highlights that. He said that in the summer of 2024, there was a record number of European vacations, but at the same time, there was also a record number of people visiting food banks. So it really speaks to how the extremes are being built out because of inflation. His point was that, you know, 88% of the stock market is owned by the top 10% of income earners in the US. The other 12% of the stock market is owned by the next 40%. And then the bottom 50% of the US owns no stocks. Certainly in the conversation, and I'm not going to get into the pros and cons of trade imbalances. I've got my own opinions on it, but the reality is the administration is highlighting the point that really since World War II, there's been some significant trade imbalances and those things all need to be reconsidered and rejiggered. So on a high level, We have a fiscal debt crisis. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I made a video. Ray Dalio, the largest or one of the largest hedge fund managers, Bridgewater, was talking about basically a debt spiral of the federal government and how chaotic that can be. And so that's part of the problem. Next slide. So the way that I see this is there's kind of this three pillar scenario of what the administration is trying to accomplish in order to fix some really fundamental challenges that we have in the US economy and in society. Right before the election, the federal government's year starts October of 2024. And in that time period from October of 2024 to January of 2025, the treasuries, the bonds, the interest rates, they skyrocketed. The 10-year treasury went from 3.6% to 4.8%. That is a dramatic increase. Much of it had to do with significant amounts of deficit spending above and beyond projections for our national deficit this year. It created a risk interest premium, forced interest rates up. In that same time period, President Trump was very vocal that he wanted interest rates to come down. More people probably interpreted that as self-serving, thinking that he simply wanted interest rates down to juice the stock market. Unfortunately, the Federal Reserve, President Powell, was not very accommodative. As of December, he said that they were cutting the projections for rate cuts this year. Mid-December, if you go look at the old charts, there was a dramatic decrease in the stock market when Powell spoke that day. And at the same day, Trump was very vocal about, you know, saying that that's not good. We need interest rates to go down. And if Powell ain't going to help him, he will figure it out himself. Since Trump has taken office, so now this is getting into mid-January, the 10-year treasury bonds have moved down. Interest rates have essentially collapsed, more or less. They've gone from 4.8 to about 3.9% as of yesterday. They've bounced up a little bit as I'm making this video. Now, this is interesting because it goes back to my previous slide that if we have a massive amount of debt that needs to be refinanced, if we had to refinance that in the fours, that is a lot more painful than, you know, the lower we can get it, at least to current levels. And so the idea that treasuries coming down, people flooding into treasuries, bringing down interest rates, bringing down yields, that can help stabilize and normalize the opportunity to refinance our debt and our rollovers. Now, it's interesting because people would say that what I'm presenting right now is as if this was a design by the administration to accomplish this. Nobody knows if that's true or not. And the reason they don't know if that's true or not is the administration says that's not true. However, the only way that interest rates would have come down is by the administration manufacturing uncertainty. And if we all look around us right now, we are covered in uncertainty. People are freaking out. They're stressed. Is Trump being serious about going into a trade war? You know, he doesn't want to negotiate. This stuff is being held hard. The reality is it seems like that uncertainty has lent favorably to some of our fiscal debt issues. On top of that, when Trump came into office, it was a goal of the administration to, quote unquote, cut government waste, right? Now, this is an interesting line item. Obviously, Trump's version of using Doge and Elon Musk has been fraught with a lot of headlines, a lot of exhaustion, a lot of frustration. People don't like it. They don't like the way that they're doing it. The reality, though, is, you know, go do your history lessons. Talking about cutting government waste has been going on forever. There's very big sound bites and clips of President Clinton talking about he's the end of big government. He's going to cut all of the waste. You had Obama open up a formal cut federal waste program in 2011. He actually put Joe Biden in charge of that. So obviously Trump's come out with his own version of it. The end result of it is still yet to be seen. Obviously, so far, at least in the headlines, it has created an immense amount of chaos. The goal of this current administration's, you know, waste cutting program is to try to cut $1 trillion a year of waste by lowering the deficit, which would only support, you know, as I had mentioned, the hedge fund Ray Dalio's point of if we don't get our deficit cut in half soon, we're going to go into a black hole here in the U.S. So, you know, tier one, can you get interest rates down to help with the refinancing costs of the federal government? Tier two is, can you cut enough waste to help start diminishing our annual deficits? And so this is all about trying to get the balance sheet right, you know, at the federal government level. tier three, you know, you launch obviously people are calling trade wars, but you come out with all of these tariffs. They're called reciprocal tariffs. The majority of them are reciprocal. Some of them appear to be new. Those came out last Wednesday. Effective dates were, you know, over the weekend, and the heavier ones hitting here on Wednesday on the 9th. Now, in the headlines, Trump's main mouthpieces and even himself have said, hey, we're not negotiating this stuff. This is what it is. Get used to it. And that feels a little overwhelming, a little scary. Like, how can he do this? He's going to create inflation. He's going to rise prices. He's going to, you know, break the world. What's funny, though, is if you start reading into some of the small print of what's going on, you see some interesting things shaping up. So, for example, last Wednesday, Trump talks on the White House lawn. He's got his boards. His boards don't even include Canada and Mexico, our two largest trading partners. Those are, we'll say, their own conversation. He doesn't have Russia on those boards. Well, he's trying to negotiate the end of a war with Russia. So I guess poking them in the eye with tariffs wouldn't be helpful at the moment. One thing that I think we can all agree on is, to some degree, Trump is a narcissist. He loves the stock market. It has been his badge of honor that he talks about excessively. He pats himself on the back. We hear about it constantly. He loves the stock market. He loves when it does well because he gets to tell everybody it's his thing. So I would make a personal argument, in my own opinion, that Trump probably is not happy. He is probably not excited about the markets being down. And so if he is doing something, a magic show, some wizardry behind the scene here, in his opinion, whether true or not, you know that this irks him. And if he feels that this much pain visually is worth the end result of this, it will certainly be interesting to see how that plays out. The White House separately Wednesday evening last week released the official announcement / statement. I would say that it deviated a little bit from what President said from the pulpit. Certainly, it talked about when these tariffs go into effect, but it also then went into better detail of saying all of this stuff is negotiable. Please call the White House. Let's talk. So it kind of starts to say, well, wait a second. I was told he didn't want to negotiate. I was told he was going to hold this hard line. And the reality is, it sounds like he wants to negotiate pretty extensively. The next day, his son put a statement out on X and basically said to the world, hey, I've seen this playbook 1,000 times. Here's how it's going to go. The first country that calls my dad gets the best deal. The last country that calls my dad gets the worst deal. And you say, well, wait a second. Why would someone from his inner circle kind of deviate from his public statements and put something so blatant out there, unless that's starting to be a tea leaf that is speaking to the real reality of what's going on here? Over the weekend, last night, Sunday night, the White House did say that so far 50 countries have reached out to start negotiations and discussions with them. There's a handful of countries, the Vietnam, some countries in the EU, certainly the UK, Israel, but the totality of the 50 country list has not been released. But that's interesting. Another caveat, why would the administration gamble on this? So last week, the Wall Street Journal put out an article, and it basically said that a number of trade experts came to the White House last month to play trade war games. And they said around the White House, you know, these are people that are experts in all global trade representing different countries. And they made moves and counter moves against each other to see how trade warring would go. And supposedly the end result was the United States always won these trade wars because the United States is the largest economy and is the reserve currency. And everybody else ultimately had to fold, you know, before they went into their own recessions, depressions kind of stuff. So it seems like that's probably some mental ammunition that gave the administration the air to feel that they could go out publicly and do this. We shall see. So what could happen? I don't know. You know, the headlines say inflation's going to go up. But then again, about a half hour ago, I saw that a number of ally countries from the EU said they're willing to discuss the idea of having zero tariffs and having complete free trade with the United States. And I would say to myself, well, wait a second. Doesn't that mean prices are going to go down with those things that come from those areas? So there's a huge debate on what the end result of this is. This will either be a masterclass of the administration surprising everybody, or this will be a pretty epic failure of process. We're going to find out. One of the things that the president keeps touching on, which obviously is relevant and true, is there has been a lot of new announcements of U.S. investments of trillions of dollars. Now, it's hard to say, oh my gosh, a plant's going to be built in the U.S. When is that going to be up and running? But it does mean that spending picks up pretty quickly on certain things. You know, if the government can fast track permits, policies, processes to get things going, obviously there's going to be a lot of sales in building materials, in labor, in construction. So there's certainly elements of that that we're going to be looking for in the economy. As I've talked to people in the last week or two, kind of part of the emotional argument that I would make is, you know, if you believe Trump is a narcissist, if you believe that he doesn't always, will say, tell the truth from the pulpit, then you have to realize that there's probably something else going on versus what the headlines are saying. The only way that we should be truly, 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 truly scared of the stock market going down is if Trump is finally officially serious. He's not negotiating. This is all completely real. This isn't about interest rates. This isn't about government waste. This isn't about, you know, lowering costs for the middle and low class, whether that was self-serving or not for his political ambitions or whatever. You would have to believe that. But the one thing that, you know, I'd like to also touch on is remember the whole point of investing. When you build a proper income plan, conservative things should be used to generate your income. All of the stocks, all of the growth, all of the risk stuff is parked down the road. And remember, there's some other things that are shaping up in the economy that are very interesting that nobody is talking about. The administration has cut a significant amount of regulations. They are deregulating massively. Historically, that has led to a very good tailwind to equities as it increases their bottom lines. Obviously, there's its own debate on the relevance of regulations. That's not what I'm here to debate. I'm just highlighting the point that deregulation generally leads to higher equity valuations. Separately, Congress is in the process of still trying to pass tax cuts, make Social Security tax free, you know, a number of different things there before taxes go up next year. That is a huge tailwind to the equity market if those things get passed. The Federal Reserve, even though they've certainly become more dour since last December, they're still committed to doing some rate cuts this year. The markets are betting they're going to do more than they're admitting to. But rate cuts inherently do ultimately end up increasing stock market values over time. So there's a lot of tailwinds shaping up to the equity markets. Even this morning, as I'm sitting here, you know, watching the news, you know, you had all of the analysts out and they're lowering their estimates. And, you know, like Oppenheimer, you know, big giant investment firm, they just said right now, hey, you know, we're lowering our price target for this year to the S&P 500 going to 6,000. And you're like, well, wait a second, it's at 5,000 right now. I want it to go higher than 6,000. We all do. But it kind of speaks to the point that the reality is these things happen and then eventually they work themselves out and they go away. Remember, it wasn't but last July and August that the stock market fell almost 10%. And then it cycled back up very quickly. Nobody remembers that. Nobody recalls it. In 2022, the stock market had its worst calendar year since 08. It was down 20% for the year. But in its worst decline from peak to trough, which was January to August, it was down about 27% before it kind of stabilized. This stuff happens. Obviously, the headlines are very overwhelming. They're very exhausting. I believe that the market is going to stabilize. I believe it is going to go up, you know, per the things that we're discussing. Like I said, this is certainly my opinion. But hey, call us. This is why we're here. We're here to support you and give you some peace of mind of the things that we think are going on. And we want to support you however you need. So don't hesitate to reach out. Don't hesitate to call 805-500-7035. Certainly visit our main website, thelindgroup.com. But other than that, I'll circle back with you guys pretty quickly. And I got to figure out where my outro video is. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to The Wealth Puzzle. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Michael Mansfield at The Lind Group. Call 805-500-7035 or visit them online at thelindgroup.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by the Lynn Group Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of California. Insurance products and services are offered through the Lynn Group, LLC. The Lynn Group, LLC, and the Lynn Group Advisors, LLC, are not affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or enforced by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.